We are opposing this siege.
نحن نعترض على هذا القصار.
We are breaking this siege.
نحن نعترض على هذا القصار.
We are breaking this siege.
In February of 2009, 300 British volunteers set off by road across Europe and North Africa on a humanitarian mission to the Gaza Strip. Their convoy was the largest of its kind to travel across the Maghreb since the Second World War and was met with a vast amount of support as well as occasional hostility. They called themselves Viva Palestina, a lifeline to Gaza. The Viva Palestina convoy had been going through a somewhat turbulent time during its passage through Tunisia. But now, as it came to the end of its second week on the road, it was approaching the border with Libya, where the government had made it clear it was backing the effort wholeheartedly. As the vehicles crossed over the international border line, they were met with a grand official reception, in a clear effort by the Libyans to extend a hand of friendship. And it wasn't long before the British had warmed to the hospitality.
It's a tremendous response from the people of Libya thus far, and I imagine it's going to be like this throughout our journey. It's a long passage across Libya, and it'll be foreshortened by this kind of hospitality.
But it was the announcement that the Libyan government was to take the unprecedented step of providing material support to the convoy by adding extra vehicles to its number that really impressed those present.
Now, all the people here in Libya and the Islamic society in Britain are joining together today. We will have a very big convoy saying to the world that we are standing beside our people in Palestine.
These trucks, they're just awesome. They're on a different level.
Credit to the Libyans.
Yeah. In total, 100 large trucks were to join the British from Libya, doubling the size of the convoy and adding over 4,000 tons of aid to its manifest.
We had a critical mass when we got to Libya because we had mass popular support and really enthusiastic government support, and genuine and practical government support, so that our convoy doubled in size, for example.
By now, the consensus amongst the volunteers from Britain was that the Libyan government and the Gaddafi Foundation had really outdone themselves in their support of the mission. But in yet another pleasant surprise, Libya broke ranks with its North African neighbours over the kind of route offered to the convoy across its territory. While Morocco, Algeria and Tunisia had, for the most part, kept Viva Palestina out of the main cities, Libyan police guided the convoy straight into the heart of Tripoli, despite the traffic jams that resulted. And while security forces in previous countries had penned in the convoy and kept a very close eye on its activities, here the approach was far more liberal, with the police focusing on clearing the path ahead.
We had a police escort which was very, very courteous and which you genuinely felt was there to help us rather than for any other purpose.
As Viva Palestina approached Tripoli, the Libyan people and the security forces were as one as they cheered the ambulances, vans and trucks through their streets.
Not only were the local people encouraged to come out and greet us, the authorities as well were obviously very happy to see us. It was the only country we went through where they encouraged and welcomed us to drive through the capital.
Some critics described the Libyan government's approach as a public relations effort, but by adding material aid to the convoy, Libya was in fact risking strained relations with its neighbour Egypt, which had in turn been under pressure from Israel over Viva Palestina.
I think it's more to do with, I wouldn't call it a U-turn, but a change, of course, in the attitude of the Libyan government over this last couple of years and continuing until now.
Thank you.
One of the happier chapters of the Viva Palestina journey was coming to an end. The Egyptian border lay ahead, and beyond that, the unknown. The Egyptian government was officially welcoming the convoy, but there were signs that not all was as it seemed.
The ruling party in Egypt, the NDP, had taken a view that it would deal with the convoy by embracing the convoy, at the same time as there was an evident concern on their part that we would meet the NDP but not meet any of the other parties and political forces in Egypt, of which there are many. Egypt is a populous country, a very sophisticated country, and so on.
And as we entered Egyptian border control, we were promptly told to turn the camera off. Then began the most comprehensive and detailed security checks that the convoy members had experienced on their entire journey. Several individuals were taken away for questioning or simply held back with no explanation given. One of them was Press TV's Yvonne Ridley.
There was a slight feeling of trepidation, and I handed my passport in. I was one of the first people to arrive at the Egyptian border and one of the last people to leave. They kept me waiting for 2 hours without explanation while everyone else was processed, and eventually they did let me go through. Four people didn't make it. Four men from the northwest of England were prevented from going through. They weren't given a reason why, and they were left stranded at the Libyan border. It was a very unfortunate incident. We felt it was designed to try and provoke a reaction, or it was sent as a signal not to mess with the Egyptian authorities.
If they've cleared him through Ramsgate and everything.
Well, I was just counting. We've cleared six different countries, yeah, and not one has blinked an eyelid.
The issue of the four men who were denied entry into the country served to seriously strain relations between convoy members and the Egyptian authorities, with the Egyptian government refusing to comment. All four had been popular figures within the volunteer group.
They're on the Libyan side, which is a good thing. So the next thing we can do is try and sort out, an interpreter and some maybe Libyan diplomat or some kind of negotiations like that, really.
The early run-in with the authorities was only a sign of what was yet to come. Egypt was the final stage in the long journey to Rafah, but would also present the convoy's toughest challenges yet.